For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God is good. And all the time, has God been good to you? When was the last time? Right now. Because you are alive. Are you following me? Right now, God is good. Because you have a mind to understand the gospel. You made it without an accident. Are you following me? You're not in jail. Are you following me? You're not in a hospital bed. Are you with me? The FBI isn't looking for you. Are you following me? All right. We recognize the goodness of God at this very microsecond. Now let me give my public testimony, as I always do. God has never done me anything wrong. Never. All my problems I have brought on myself. All my blessings have come from God. And so I say publicly, Father, you have never, ever done me anything wrong. And I thank you for your consistent goodness in my life, despite all the rebellion I have showed towards you. I thank God for his mercy. How are you? You look good. Thank God for that. Are you with me? How was your day? Did you pray? How many times? Once, once, twice, one and a half times. Okay, let's remember 1 Thessalonians 5, verse what? 17, pray without ceasing. And I told you a few nights ago what that really means is not that you kneel without ceasing, but you keep this thing always in contact with heaven. Right now where you are, make a spiritual connection with something right now. Come on, somebody. Make a spiritual connection with anything you see. Yes, and you see light. Are you with me? Do you see light? Mm-hmm. Jesus is the light of the world. That's keeping your mind. That's a spiritual connection. Make another connection. See something, make a connection. Yes. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and perhaps the friend is sitting right next to you. Make a spiritual connection. Somebody else. Yes. Say it again. Lord, put your words in that mess. God bless my lovely sister. That's a powerful spiritual connection. You made me laugh. Okay, yes, sister, make a connection. Every, why did you say that? Every hair on your head is numbered, yes. We have an attractive unbeliever. Okay, yes, my brother, make a connection. The oxygen that you breathe. Come on, what did you say? You can't see it? And you can't see God, but you know God is there. Someone else, make a connection as I play with this plan. Make a connection. Huh? Come on, make a spiritual connection. On the third day, come on. God made vegetation. Ever heard of the Rose of Sharon? Yes, that's Jesus Christ. Make another spirit. Look around. Make a spiritual connection right now. We are wonderfully made. Yes, by Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Make a spiritual connection. Yes. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light. Somebody else, another one. Yes. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Yes, my brother. Yes, I have not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared. One more. Yes, my sister. Say it again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And when the sun set, the Sabbath began. I said one more, but yes, elder. In Christ all things. Yes, yes. Colossians 1:17. Yes. Make another one. Yes. A friend loveth at all times. Yes. And Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Somebody else, we have time. Make us look around and make a spiritual connection. Come, yes. Come, let's reason together, says God. Blessings on that handsome man. Yes. In the beginning, God created, and we're just about to begin the sermon. Give me two more. Spiritual connect. Yes. Love your neighbor as yourself. Blessings upon you. Yes, elder. We have children. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Except you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right. Yes, my brother. Today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. Yes, what I'm trying to tell you, train your mind to make a spiritual connection no matter what you see. You'll be shocked how you will always be in touch with God. Mm-hmm. You see a dead animal, roadkill, the wages of sin, come on, death. Mm-hmm. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Okay, we're all wearing clothes. We shall be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And white is the color of righteousness. Blue is the color of obedience. Purple is the color of royalty. Mm-hmm. Everything you see, gold, the color of faith, way back there. Make a well, let me leave you alone. I can't force you. All right, our subject for this evening, called out to stand out. What did I say? Called out to stand out. Let me welcome those online. I also urge you, make spiritual connections with everything you see. Welcome. Thank you for joining us, and may God bless you. Who is with us tonight? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. May I see your hand? You're not a Seventh-day Adventist. Raise that. Good. Tell us your name. Marcia White. Hello, Sister Marcia. How are you? Good to see you. Who invited you? Who? Your brother. Where is he? In the back. Okay, Marcia, thank you so much. We appreciate your presence. And may the Lord bless you in every possible way. Say amen for Sister White. Somebody else. Yes, my sister. What's your name? You are Shelley. Hi, Shelley. How are you? Good. You look like a nice person. Shelley, who invited you? Okay, where is he? He invited you and abandoned you? Okay, well, there he is over there. All right. Shelley, God bless your life and make you a blessing to others. Say amen for Shelley. Amen. Anybody else? Hi, how are you? What's your name? Audrey Henry. Hello, Audrey Henry. Where are you from? Where are you from? Jamaica's a good place. I'm a Jamaican, say amen. I'm like Paul, I'm all things to all men, yes. When I go to Haiti, I'm a Haitian. Mm-hmm. Audrey, may God grant you the desires of your heart. Say amen for Audrey. Okay, anybody else? You just made up your mind. Okay, what's your name? Who? Dave. That's like David. How are you, Dave? Where are you from? Okay, and who invited you? Who? Where is that? Okay. Dave, thanks for coming. And may the Lord make you a light and a source of encouragement to others around you. Say amen for Dave. Amen. He has the name of King David. Anybody else? You are not a Seventh-day. Anthony, am I right? All right. In dark glasses. Someone make a spiritual connection with those dark glasses. Come on. Make a spiritual connection. With the dark glasses. What's that? I shared by there. Okay, someone else. Make a spiritual yes. Okay. You're in the dark, come into the light. Okay. Yes, my brother. He makes us to see even in the dark. Okay, all right. Anthony, the whole church likes you. Okay. Where's Geneva? Oh, right under my nose. Hello, Geneva. How are you? Thanks for coming to see me. I am delighted. Say amen for Geneva. Amen. All right. Who else has come all the time? Where's Mercedes? Mercedes abandoned me today? Oh, she drove away. Okay. whoever sees Mercedes, tell her the preacher asked about her. But God bless you, Mercedes, wherever you are. And those of you online who couldn't make it here, wherever you are, God bless you. I really mean that. And my friends all over the world who write me and tell me you're watching, thank you. And God bless your life in multiple ways. What's our subject? Called out to stand out. As always, if you're not using a phone, please turn it off until it is dead. If you are using it, just turn down the sound. Is that reasonable? Nobody said anything. Yes, okay. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me. And say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. What verse do I use? This side. Tell me what it says. Not bad. That side, say it. Come on, you say it, that side. Uh-huh. All right. I wouldn't tell you what side was more successful. I don't want a civil war. All right. Favor number three, what's that? Think. What's the verse we use? Anyone? Isaiah 1:18. Tell me. Come now, let us read. I love that verse. God is such a nice person. Let's talk. Why do you keep getting drunk, says God? Let's talk. Why do you keep smoking? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Why do you keep smoking, says God? Why do you sell dope? God will come down and talk to you. Let's reason, says God. Why do you beat your husband? You know, 15% of spousal abuse is women beating their husbands. Mm-hmm. Okay. God is good. And all the time, it's 8:05. I'll release you by 8:45. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the joy of fellowship. Thank you for being in your presence at your invitation. It is a high honor. And through Christ, we are closer to you than angels that live in heaven. Because Christ did not become an angel, he became a human being. And now he's at your right hand representing us. What an honor. If we have sinned, forgive us, dear God. Because people who are conscious of the fact that in Christ, they sit right next to you, the last thing they should want to do is sin. Now, Father, speak through me. Cleanse me, I pray. And use me as you see fit. I will not resist at all. Tell me what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. And let the Spirit speaking to me and through me enlighten those who are listening. Bless our friends online, a very special blessing on all our guests, I pray. And bless little boys and little girls who are watching. Let your Spirit somehow tell them that you desire that they should give their lives to you. Father, touch the sick, I pray, and heal them, I ask. Now, God, take this service and glorify yourself, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us go to Genesis chapter 6. We'll read from verse 1. Genesis 6, reading from verse 1, our subject called out to stand out. Do you have Genesis chapter 6 from verse 1? And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Skip 4 and go to 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Keep going. And it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Next verse. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Stop. Sin had become so vast and universal that God decided to destroy an entire world. And he did it by a flood. Contrary to what secular scholars say, the Bible tells us the entire world was covered in water. We have to believe it no matter what the experts say. The entire world was covered with water. As a matter of fact, we're told 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. The water rose 15 cubits above the highest mountains then, because the whole world had become corrupt and wicked, and God destroyed it. Before he destroyed it, he called out a family. Place them in the ark. Go to Genesis 7, and let's read verse 1. Our subject called out to stand out. Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, what? Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Why? For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Righteousness qualified Noah's family to enter that ark. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As righteousness qualified Noah's family for entrance into the ark, righteousness will qualify us in these last days to escape the destruction that is coming. I say again, the destruction that is coming. So God destroyed the world. Noah and his family exited the ark in Genesis 7. After a while, the very descendants of Noah began to drift from God. Let's go now to Genesis 11, and we'll read from verse 1. Genesis 11, reading from verse 1. The Bible says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. This is the bulk of the world's population. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. So they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let's settle down right here. They did not want to populate the entire earth. They wanted to concentrate in the cities. But God had told Adam, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God's will was scatter. Their will was concentrate. Are you with me? That's rebellion. So we have now the bulk of the world's population, because God always has one or two that are faithful. So I say the bulk of the world's population rebelled against God. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one, what? Language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. God is saying, these people are determined to rebel against me. Before you look down at them, we are no different today. There are people in church determined to do what they want, regardless of what, thus saith the Lord, tells them. No matter how much truth you show me, I will do what I want. I will do what's convenient. I will do what's traditional. I will do what most people do. So God's saying, there nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And the Lord said, go to, let us go down and there confound a language that they may not understand one another's speech. Now God had to scatter them by confusing the languages. The first instance of worldwide sin, God destroyed the whole world by a flood. The second instance of worldwide idolatry, God wrecked their plans and forced them to scatter. But the world was still largely idolatrous. And God looked upon the world and found one family. Go to Genesis 12. Our subject, called out to stand out. Genesis 12, we read from verse 1. Let me pray again. Holy Father, as I continue, speak through me very, very clearly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God said, through you. God adopts a plan now, working through a family. Through you, I'll try to reach the whole world. Your family will be an example to the world. In other words, if they live obediently to my word, this I will use to tell the world, this is what I require of my people. This is a heavenly lifestyle. This is a righteous life. And God called Abraham and his family to represent to the world what a godly life is. And verse 3 ends, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What does that mean? Let the Bible explain. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts 3, Peter is preaching hundreds and hundreds of years later. Roughly about 2,000 years later, Peter is preaching. And in his preaching under the Holy Ghost, he explains what was meant by, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Back in Genesis 12, verse 3. Verse 25 of Acts 3. Are you there? Read with me. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Peter is quoting from Genesis 12, verse 3. Are you with me? Are you sure? All right. Now, verse 26. Carefully, unto you first. God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Now, what is the blessing? Finish the verse. In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. What was the blessing? Here's what the angel told Mary, or Joseph, in a dream. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. So when God told Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, Peter interpreted that to say, he shall turn away you from your iniquities. The angel had told Joseph, she'll have a son. His name will be Jesus. Why? He will save people from their sins. Question for you. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Now, let's read Matthew 1:21 differently. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their. All right, transgression is fine, but that's not what I want, but it's fine. Let's try it again. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from there. Try it again. Don't disappoint me again. Get it this time. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from there. Listen to me. What is sin? Give me another word for that. Disobedience. Now, let's come with a sunrise version of Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. Come on. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their disobedience. That's the problem. He shall save them from this attitude, I do what I want. You do what God says. Go to Romans 5. Let's read verse 19 quickly. Romans 5, verse 19. Our subject called out to stand out. Romans 5, verse 19. Let's read so we know we're all reading the same thing. Do you have it? Read with me. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, come on, shall many be made righteous. Do you see obedience and disobedience? What's the problem? What's the solution? Don't say it as though you're afraid. What's the problem? What's the solution? Who's disobedience? Who's disobedience? Who's obedience? I need a ginger beer. Listen to me carefully. Whose disobedience? Adam's. Whose obedience? Christ, the second Adam. The problem is obedience and disobedience. God called the people so that they might live an obedient life and thereby demonstrate to the world what a child of God is like. Are you with me? Now, let's see that reasonably presented to us. Go to Exodus 19. Our subject called out to stand out. It is now 20 after 8. When did I say I'll release you? Did I say that? All right. I trust you. What book did I say? Exodus, what chapter? 19, reading from verse 4. When you found it, say amen. If you're still looking, say amen. Hurry up. You have it now? Let's read together. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will, stop. If ye will, if ye will, obey what? Not your wife's voice, as Adam did. But God bless your wife. Not your husband's voice. Not your pastor's voice. God's voice. If you will obey my voice, how? Indeed. Not just in words. Indeed. Keep breathing. And keep my covenant. Come on. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, what would elevate the Israelites above every other nation on earth? Obedience to God's law. Go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, beautiful psalm. It's a historical psalm, talks about God's dealing with the Israelites. 106 is the same thing, 107 the same thing, 78 the same thing, 136, they all deal with God's. They give a list of all the events that took place as the Israelites left Egypt and traveled to Canaan. Psalm 105, we read verse 26. What does that say? He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had. Now we know that from Genesis 3, no, Exodus 3, God sent Moses and told Moses, I'll send Aaron to help you. Verse 24, and he did what? Increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Did the Israelites multiply in Egypt? Yes. Verse 25, he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. Yes. Verse 26, he sent Moses and Aaron whom he had chosen, and we're familiar with. So the psalmist is listing all the events. Verse 27, they showed their signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. 28 now begins the list of plagues. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. 29, he turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. 30, their land brought forward frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. So we have all these lists. He's going down the history of God's dealing with the Israelites from the time they left into the wilderness. Now, why did God do all of that? Read verse 45. That they might observe his statutes and keep. Yes, they could not do that in Egypt. He brought them out to obey him. And so when he spoke to them from Sinai, he said, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. You may not be a treasure to your family, to your friends, to your political party. You'll be a peculiar person to me. Listen to me. Always see every situation through God's eyes, not yours. Through someone hits you, respond through God's eyes, and you'll stay out of prison. Are you with me? And that person will stay out of the mortuary or the graveyard. Someone spits in your face, you've got to respond by seeing it. Come on. Through God's eyes, the way Jesus did when they spat in his face. Because your mission on this earth is to show the world what a child of God is like. And a child of God does not punch back. Are you following me? You're not answering me. Okay. I get it. Mm-hmm. And so God told the Israelites, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. But the Israelites let God down. Go to Deuteronomy 9. Read, I think it's verse 24, 25. Try 24 of Deuteronomy 9. Do you have Deuteronomy, book number 5? You have that? Chapter 9, read verse 24. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord, come on, in the day that I met you. Now, he did not meet them when he began to lead them. He met them 40 years earlier. Are you with me? At 12 years old, he was taken by the Egyptian princes into the palace. He was aware of his people. He knew the Israelites 28 years before he led them. Moses said, you have been rebellious against God from the from the very day that I knew you up to this very day. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a collection of speeches that Moses gave just before they crossed the Jordan into Canaan. He's just repeating all that God had said over 40 years. So we're talking about 80 years of rebellion against God. God destroyed the flood in the days of Noah. He scattered the builders of Babel, found one family, families of Abraham. Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Abraham and Lot. Called the Israelites to represent him, they misrepresented him. Then Jesus came. Can you say amen? Then Jesus came, and Jesus did what God intended the Israelites should have done. You didn't get what I said. The life Christ lived is the life the Israelites should have lived. God said, if you obey my voice indeed, what did Jesus say? He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And what did God say? If you love me, come on, keep my commandments. What did Jesus say? John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus obeyed the Father microscopically. So the Father was able to say, this is the life I expected of the Israelites, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Christ came and he showed us the life. Now, he got together some disciples. Here's what he tells the Father about the disciples. Go to John 17. We'll read from verse 9. Christ is praying. Our subject called out to stand out. He is praying, John 17, the disciples are listening. Of course, only 11 disciples. Who has left? Brother Judas, yes. He's gone to get the soldiers to come and arrest Christ. Never, never be the one who betrays Christ. Can you say amen? Choose death before you choose to betray Christ. What book did I say? John. What chapter? 17. Let's read from verse 9. Listen to Christ praying. He tells the Father, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Finish 14. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's what God wants from us. Look at that verse again. There's a comparing two things. They are not of the world. How? Even as I am not of the world. Read verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus described his disciples as men living in the world, but not of the world. This is Florida, surrounded by beaches. Do you go swimming? Yes. Are you a fish? No. You're in the sea, but you're not a fish. Too many of us are in the sea, and we try to be fish. When Christ died to make us different from the world, so that he should be able to say, these people in Sunrise, they are of the world. They are in the world, but they are not of the world. And they display that by the way they dress, the way they eat, the way they work, the way they handle disagreements, the way they worship, the way they sing, the way they deal with the authorities. They demonstrate they are not of this world. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto thee. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Members of the kingdom of God don't fight. Is this microphone working? They don't fight. Are you following me? They don't go to the streets and throw bricks through windows and burn cars. They don't do that. They're not of the world. They have been called out to stand out. So the same way people said about Christ, what manner of man is this? When we follow God's plan of life, people must say, what manner of people are these? That's what we say about the Amish. When they're going down the streets with a horse buggy and we flash by in our Mercedes-Benz. Who are these people? But when they sell their fruits, we rush to buy them because we trust them to provide quality. If they're that committed to their lifestyle, what they do must also be trustworthy. God needs a people on this earth that the world can look at them and say, who are these people? They're not sick. They're not broke. Their homes are strong. Children are respectful. Doing well in school, but never going to class on Sabbath. You know, who are these people? And the government comes to study them. Called out, come on, to stand out. In the days of Christ and up to this very day, the word, well, let me say this, the word church, let me pray again, Father, please continue to be with me today, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I plead with you. Amen. The word church never occurs in the Old Testament. Never. That doesn't mean God didn't have a church. But the word church does not occur. It occurs about roughly 80 times in the New. Now, the word church means called out. It's a Greek word, ecclesia. It was not originally a spiritual word. It was a secular word that the people used to describe, let's say, a group of citizens came together to discuss how to run the city. That is an ecclesia, called out a special group to do a special work. Then the disciples took it to refer to the church, because the church members were called out of the world. Are you with me? That's how we got church, ecclesia. But go to Acts chapter 7. Acts 7, our subject, called out to stand out. Acts 7, let's read 37 and 38. It's now 26 minutes to something. Do you have Acts 7, 37 and 38? Read with me. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and to him shall ye hear. Now, read verse 38. This is he that was with the church in the wilderness. Stop. Now, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads Luke to refer to the Israelites in the wilderness as a church. You know why? They had been called out of Egypt. Let me tell you a secret. Whenever rebellions broke out, the people who initiated the rebellions almost all the time, come on, the mixed multitude that came out with the Israelites. Because several Egyptians came. Because they saw a good thing. Are you with me? They realized the plagues did not affect the Israelites. So they came with the Israelites. But they were still Egyptians. And so the Bible says Moses was in the church in the wilderness. Why? They were called out. But called out for what? Listen to Exodus 19 verse 4 again. Ye have seen what I did unto Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. When God calls you out, he calls you to himself. Live for me. Listen to me. Obey me. Represent me. Glorify me. It's not you or me. It is God. So he called them unto himself. And Jesus called 12 disciples to start a new group, because the people to whom he came would not receive him. John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy chickens together as a chick, thy people, children together, as a chicken gathered, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, and ye would not. And so he raised up a group, 12 disciples. They were to represent him. And in his prayer, he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And that call is still being issued today. Christ is calling people that they may allow him to work in them so that they can be called out in order to stand out. So that people can see what a child of God is really like and be inspired to come and join that group. I told you, the problem is obey and disobey. When God came down on Sinai, he came to personally speak what? The Ten Commandments. He spoke it out loud to all 2 million Jews, or Israelites, not Jews, Israelites. Jews came years later, decades, hundreds of years later, actually, hundreds. He spoke it out loud, God. Are you following me? And he wrote it. But all the Israelites heard the voice of, they were so scared. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 18, they said, speak thou with us, and we will hear. Let not God speak with us, lest he die. They could not stand that level of holiness which God required of them and still requires of us. He spoke it out loud so there could be no argument, because everyone heard, and no one can say he said that, he didn't say that. No, we heard it. This is what he said. He gave a lot of regulations about sacrificial services. He did not speak those out loud. He spoke them quietly to Moses. Moses wrote them in a book. God wrote the law on stone. Are you with me? You don't look so. God spoke what out loud? The Ten Commandments, including the one that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it. Now, let me say God. When I say God spoke the Ten Commandments, I mean Jesus. Now, he wasn't called Jesus then. He got that name when he became human. But it was Christ on Mount Sinai who said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods. It was Jesus. Why? There's one mediator between God and man. Man, the man, Christ Jesus. He stands between God and us. God speaks to us through him. We speak to God through him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so the Father would not speak directly to the Israelites. That was done by his Son, the one who came to die because the law was broken. Are you following me? The one whom we regard as so sweet and loving, it was he who said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And today, Christ is calling a people out. And when Peter, speaking under the control of the Spirit of Christ in Acts chapter 2, in verse 37, the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me look at baptize a little quickly. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6. I'll be a little long tonight. Do you mind? I try to release you early most nights, but let me take a few more minutes tonight. God will bless you for your tolerance, your patience. You can't give God too much time because your whole life belongs to him. When a football game is in, do you get mad because it goes to overtime? No, you don't. You sit there and watch and you don't want to be disturbed. Are you following me? It's fourth and one, right on the 1 yard line, and you're not moving. Are you following me? All right. What book did I say? Romans. What chapter? 6. What verse? 1. Father, continue to be with me, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, come on, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Verse 3 carefully. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There is a comparison between Christ's crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection, and a sinner coming to Christ. The sinner has to die as Jesus died. The sinner has to be buried as Christ was buried. The sinner has to rise as Christ rose. Now, Christ rose differently from the way he was before he died. Let me explain that. Not different in character. His body was different. Let the Bible tell you that. Go quickly to Philippians chapter 3. We'll read 20 and 21. He rose with a glorified body. That's the body we will have when we rise in Christ, for those of us who obey him. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. For our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation means our citizenship. From whence also we look for the Lord. Do you have Philippians 3:20? Who shall do what? Change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Stop. The body which with Christ came from the grave is the body we will have. So he came up gloriously now spiritually. When a person is baptized, it symbolizes a glorious resurrection. And so the person dies by giving up that past life. Baptism is not a bath. There are many people in the church who got wet, but nothing changed. Let me explain what I mean. Go back to Acts chapter 7 quickly. We read 38 and 39. Our subject, called out to stand out. Acts 7, 38, 39. Let me show you what I mean by members of the church got wet, but nothing changed. This is he. You have Acts 7, 38. Read with me. This is he that was in the wilderness with the angel. We spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto. Yes, now 39. To whom our fathers would not obey. Come on. But thrust him from them and in their hearts. Come on. Turn back again. Yes, they were in the wilderness with the Israelites, but in their hearts, they were in Egypt. I'll ask you a question. Do not answer me. I see where your body is. Where's this? Where's this? Did Lot's wife physically leave Sodom? Did she physically leave Sodom? But where was this? In Sodom. And so she became a pillar of salt. There are students who are physically in the classroom, but this is on the basketball court. There are men or women, they're physically in a marriage, but the mind is in another state. I won't elaborate. You got what I'm saying? Are you with me? This is somewhere else. I told you a few nights ago, the experts say most heart attacks occur on Monday morning. So people are in the office on Monday morning physically. But this is somewhere else. Are you following me? What I'm saying to you is, a person who's baptized is saying by going down, I have died to that past life. I'm giving up that life. And the people associated with that life. I'm changing everything. Having died by choice, I will demonstrate that physically by going under. That's why when we baptize and your hand is sticking up, you're not yet baptized. Every inch of you must go under, symbolically. Then you're under, you're buried, Christ came up, yes. Then when the preacher brings you up, that's a symbolic resurrection. Now, go back to Romans chapter 6. So let's read verse 4 and verse 5 of Romans 6. Our subject, called out to stand out. Yeah, you need to tell me slow down. You never do. Have you ever heard the statement, too late, too late? Okay. What book did I say? Romans. What chapter? 6. What verses? 4 and 5. Read with me. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Into death. With him, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Listen to 5. For if we have been planted or buried together in the likeness of his death. Stop. Was he dead, yes or no? Yes, he said that, Revelation 1:17. I am he that liveth and was dead. A lot of people who are baptized, they're still alive. You can't bury a living person. Are you following me? They're still alive regarding the old life. We're buried with Christ in baptism into death. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together, planted means buried, in the likeness of his death. Finish the verse. We shall be also, come on, in the yes, which is a glorious resurrection. A different life. Some of you listening to me in person online, you need to die. Be buried. Rise so you can live a life described as called out, come on, to stand out. And the public expression of that is baptism. And so when the people asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. That is die, you see? Be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because your death Burial and resurrection symbolize his death. Burial in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, Paul represents that movement as a mass baptism. Water on one side, water above them in the cloud. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We're having a baptism tomorrow at the, what church, Pastor? Sunrise Church. Some will be baptized, and some still need to make that decision. Father, I want to be among those who have been called out, come on, to stand up. Because one day, Christ will end his intercession. And when that happens, there are no more second chances. Let me say it again. When the Holy Spirit stops pleading, that's it. Remember Saul? Go to 1 Samuel 16, read verse 14 quickly. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Did God say, I'm tired of Saul? Yes or no? Come on. Yes or no? Yeah. Effectively, yes. So he replaced him with David. But read something interesting. It may scare you a little. You have 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Read with me. And this, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Come on. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, God doesn't send evil spirits. God allows them. That's what that means. There are no evil spirits in heaven waiting for command. Mm-mm. God allowed. The Spirit of the Lord left him. But he was still on the throne for a few years. Listen to me carefully. It is very possible there are people in the church because of consistent disobedience. The Spirit has already gone. But they're in church by the sheer force, come on, of habit. The Spirit is gone. And here's the frightening part. When he leaves, finish my words, he does not come back as a convicting force. He stays as a restraining force to restrain you from doing all the evil, but not as a convicting force. When he leaves, the case is closed. When God closed the door of the ark, that was it. When Christ says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, the case is closed. My brothers and sisters, that's why the Bible says today, come on, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God is a merciful God, but he does not send you a text to tell you the Spirit is leaving November 25. So change your life November 24. All God does, he lets the Spirit move on your heart, move on your heart, move and move, hoping that you will at one point surrender to the convictions of God's Spirit. But the same way God said in Genesis 6:3, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. The Spirit has limits, I tell you. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Because when he leaves, he does not come back. And your case is closed. And all you can do is wait for Christ to come and destroy you. This is not designed to frighten you. It's designed to make you aware of some spiritual realities. But the Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should. So he arranged these meetings to reach someone, either in this building or online. And that person perhaps tonight may have one night left to make the right choice. 1 hour left to make the right choice. And if the Spirit is speaking to you, you want to say, Father, I want to be among those who are called out to stand out. Called out to represent to the world what a life in Christ is like. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the honor of being called by you. Whether we obey or not, you've called us to stand out. to represent you. Seated before you today, God, are men and women for whom Jesus Christ gave his life. And he rose to apply the merits of his sacrifice on their behalf. Father, we know that mercy will one day be quiet. And when that happens, there'll be no second chance. But Father, I believe without conducting any study that every person under the sound of my voice wants to be saved. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if it's your desire to be saved in God's kingdom, stand to your feet. If it's your desire, if you want a place in God's kingdom, stand to your feet.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.